You will hear a travel expert and writer reporting on traveling in deserts. For questions 1 to 9, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
What made me want to write about traveling in the desert? I guess the short answer is that after years of travel writing, I'd walked along so many tropical beaches and looked out at so many mountain views, and I was getting a bit tired of it all. Desert sort of felt like the last frontier, you know? Over the past few years, I've been visiting and writing about deserts, and today I'll share a bit about what I've learned. Deserts are such special places. Where else can you see land so dry that it cracks? Or rock formations formed by centuries of weathering and erosion that are every bit, if not more, beautiful than the sculptures you find in art museums? For me, photos never do justice to a desert. You need to experience it for yourself. In the desert, even the sound of your own footsteps is different. There are actually four main types of desert. Subtropical deserts are very hot and dry all year round. Coastal deserts, on the other hand, have cool winters and warm summers. While in cold winter deserts, summers are long and dry and winters are extremely cold, in polar deserts, it's below freezing all year round. I must admit, before I started my research, I didn't know that the Arctic and Antarctica were deserts, but I now know that any place that receives less than 25 centimeters of precipitation a year counts as one, no matter how cold it is. My most recent trip was to the Sahara, the most legendary and expansive of the subtropical deserts. After flying to Marrakesh, I took a scenic 10-hour car ride into the desert. I had fallen asleep during the last leg of the journey and woke up just outside the town of Merzouga to views of the towering and majestic Erg-Chebi dunes. Soon, I found myself on the back of a camel, walking slowly into the sands of the Sahara. That night, I slept out in the open, under a sky full of stars. Before going into the Sahara, I was warned to prepare carefully. Sunglasses, sun cream, extra water, any sensible person will bring these. But you'll also need specialized gear like wide-brimmed hats and hooded shirts that breathe well and provide UV protection. Long trousers are a must. They protect you from abrasion caused by camel fur, which is quite rough, but above all, from local shrub brush that can easily pierce the skin. When it comes to travelling in the desert, there's a lot to be said for layers. Bring like 20, I'd say. You begin piling them on in the evening when temperatures drop quickly, and then start stripping them off at dawn. Oh, and don't forget a waterproof. Nighttime can get quite damp from the heavy dew. One thing I didn't see much of in the Sahara was wildlife. Apart from camels, of course. This is because most desert animals like beetles, hedgehogs, and owls are nocturnal. On the last day of my trip, though, I did see a scorpion. I almost stepped on it, and it scared the life out of me. There is one kind of desert animal that I love, a rare antelope called the addax. Their heads are marked with black patches, forming an X over their noses, and they have scraggly beards and prominent red nostrils. Their spiral horns are strikingly beautiful. I'd love to see an addax on the trip I'm currently planning to the Southern Sahara, but I might not get the chance. It is estimated that the current population living in the wild could be in the low hundreds, or possibly even less. Time will tell whether or not they can be saved. Unfortunately, it's not just desert animals that are in danger these days, but desert landscapes themselves. Recently, I've been looking into desert greening, where great swaths of land are irrigated intensely with the goal of growing crops, supposedly in the name of saving mankind from the climate crisis. This, I don't like one bit. If there is one thing I've learned in my travels, is that deserts are not barren wastelands, but rather places worth saving in their own right.